Good morning.
Are we on? Okay.
Good morning. Say amen if you agree with the statement that we have a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hands and covers me there. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions.
Thank you, Carla. Let's everybody please stand and we'll turn to 134. And as we sing, the kids will be dismissed to Children's Church. 134, and we'll sing verse 1 and 4.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, pure art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Verse 4.
In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 43 this morning. Psalm 43, we'll be getting there in just a moment. I did want to say a quick word. I appreciate the effort of the ladies doing meals for my wife and I. We're very much thankful for that as we're still getting used to this whole time schedule difference and things going changing, and we appreciate the blessing that you guys are. I did just want to inform you, if you're going to do that, and I want you to be aware that we live on the third floor of an apartment with no elevator. So if that is an issue, please text me if you're bringing something and you would like some help with that, or you just like me to take it up for you. I'd be more than willing to do that. I do those stairs all the time, so I'm used to it by now. But not everybody is. So just wanted you to be aware of that before you get to the apartment and you start going up three flights. And you're like, whew, it's quite a journey. So just wanted you to be aware of that. Once again, I want to thank you for all the prayers with the new baby. She's doing great. I love being able to just hold her, and it's just amazing. You don't really know what it's like until you have your own, which I know many of you are aware of. And there's just nothing like holding her there right next to your face and just the smiling and just holding her there and then her sneezing right in your face. It's amazing. There's nothing quite like that. I think that means she loves me, so we'll go with that. It is quite a joy having a little life in the house, and we're definitely very excited about that. I'm excited for her. This is her first time to hear me preach, so hopefully she sleeps the whole time. That'd be preferable, but I'm excited about that today. So Psalm 43, I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we're going to do some introduction here as we get into the sermon this morning. Today I want to discuss the topic of when we want to ask God why. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on in my life? Why is this going on in the world around me? What do we do when we have that question? Psalm 43, beginning in verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's open up with prayer this morning. Lord, thank you that you are our Father, that you are our God. Thank you that we can have a relationship with you, that as we're going to discuss this morning, that we can come before you and we can talk to you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that in times in our life when we don't understand what's going on, we can trust in you to know that you know what's going on, Lord. And Lord, that you do have a plan. And I pray this morning as we discuss this passage and the truths in it, that you would help us to rest in your plan. And Lord, help us to trust you even more. Lord, I thank you for the time we can spend in your word this morning and what a joy it is to be here as a group of believers. Thank you for the great time of worshiping you through song and giving, Lord, and just fellowship. I pray now that you bless this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So what question, what situation are you facing in your life right now that you don't understand? I would say for most of us, we have at least one, if not multiple things going on in our life we don't understand. And if you don't, you understand everything going on in your life right now, I would love to talk to you about that because that would be really unusual. There's things going on in us, with us personally. There's things going on in the world around us that can't help but bring questions to our mind as to why is this happening? You know, if I was in charge, if I was running the world the way things were going, it would be going this way. But thankfully, we are not in charge of what is going on around us, because it would look very different than what it is right now. We think that we could maybe have a better idea of how things should be run and how things should be done. But if we were to control the world for just a millisecond, it'd be terrible. Things would fall apart. I can't even imagine the magnitude that that is. But many times we think that we know how things should be done. We have a better idea. Well, this is wrong, so we should do it this way. That all comes from the questioning in our mind, asking, why is this happening? But this begs the question, is it all right to ask God why? Is it okay to go before a holy, a righteous God and ask Him why this is happening in our lives? There's many times in our life we've heard people say or we get told, you know, you should not understand why this is happening. You should not question this. You should have no problem at all with what's going on. Just let go and let God. Now, to a part of that is true. We should trust in God, as we're going to discuss in just a moment. We should trust in His plan and know that what He is doing is right. But there is still a part of us that is still questioning and wondering what is going on. If we come to that point, is it all right to ask God why? Is it all right to ask Him that question? And if so, how do we go about that? That's what we're going to look at this morning through the example of David in Psalm chapter 43. When I think of questioning authority in my life, you know, it's really something that you just don't do. For those of you that were in the military, we discussed at the Harvest Banquet, we're going to be honoring many of you, and I would love to see some of those pictures that Pastor Mike was talking about. I'm sure that was quite interesting. But you think about those in the military, you do not question authority if you're in the military, if you know it's good for you. You know, growing up, I knew that I did not question the authority in my life if I knew what was good for me. I was never fearful of what my authority was going to do to me. They weren't going to throw me down and beat me. But I knew that there would be some serious consequences if I questioned my authority. I remember one specific time, my dad and I and my brother, it was in August or July sometime, we were putting up a new tree stand for the area where we were hunting. And if you are a man or you know men, you know when you are doing a project, probably the last thing that you desire to do, if you're a typical man, is to look at the directions. Because they're optional. You know, really, it's just another way to do them. You know, you can do them your way, you can do them the directions way. It's going to get done. It may not look the same at the end, but it's going to get done. My dad is a very firm believer in that theory. I remember we got there, we had a new tree stand. It was a ladder stand, so you have to put all the pieces together. He took it all out of the box, out in the woods. We carried it out there, put it right next to the tree. We have all the pieces laid out, and we start putting it together. And about an hour into this, where the instructions said it takes 20 minutes for one person to do, three of us are working on this for about an hour. And I remember my dad starting to get a little frustrated, like, this should not be happening like this. And he's over there, and he's banging the parts together, and they're not going in. And then he gets a hammer, and he's like banging. It's just not going together. I just don't understand what's going on. And I remember over in the box, there's the directions. But like I said, they're optional. And finally, my dad just gets to the point, he's like, okay, we're going to have to look at the directions. We've come to that point. And my brother and I are like, okay, we'll have to do that. So he picks up the directions and he starts looking at it. Well, my brother and I, you know, we can't all read the directions, so we're just kind of hanging there. I was probably 13 at the time. My brother was 9 or 10. And we're just kind of standing over there. And my dad's a little ways away from the ladder stand on the ground. And my brother and I are kind of closer to it. And all of a sudden, I start to notice up by the front where the seat is, there's some, what looks like bees just kind of flying around. And I just kind of intrigued by them. I don't hate bees, but I don't like them either. You know, if they're over there, it's fine with me. And so I'm just kind of watching them in a couple. And I notice they're kind of like coming out from underneath the stand. And what was a couple is now turning into like more. And there's more bees coming up. And I realize, I think those are hornets coming out of the ground. And my dad is over there reading the instructions. And he's poring over them, you know, turning them around, like, seeing how to do this. You don't see directions a lot. And I go, hey, Dad, there's some bees over by the stairs. And my dad's like, son, I'm reading the directions. I need you to just give me a moment. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm kind of just standing there with my brother. We're just kind of watching this, and it's starting to, there's quite a few hornets now. Like, there's a lot of them. I was like, hey, Dad. He's like, son, I said I'm reading the directions, and I really need you to just give me a moment because this is confusing, and it'll be fine. We'll figure this out. I'm like, I don't think you know what I'm like, okay. And by this point, it's about a couple minutes in, there is a black cloud of hornets, and I can hear this, and they're just buzzing. And my brother and I are slowly backing up, leaving my dad by himself, and we're just kind of watching, and all of a sudden, like, I was like, I got to tell him. Like, Dad, there's a bunch of hornets. He's like, what? He's like, oh, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I tried to. I said, but you were reading the directions. He's like, okay. So we just kind of all back up. We're standing there watching it, and my dad's trying to figure out the best way to go about this, and he's kind of going around it, trying to figure out where they're coming from, and he's about 10 yards away from where most of them are coming out, and all of a sudden, his foot goes into the ground up to his knee. And he found another chamber of ground hornets. He pulls his foot up, and a whole other black cloud comes out of there. I've never seen so many hornets in my life. They had this right. We had decided to put this tree stand right on top of the mother load of hornets, and there was a lot of them. We all backed up. We were running away. There's hornets everywhere. We go back to our house, which is about a 10-minute drive away from where we were. We had like 5 cans of Raid, which in hindsight wasn't going to work, but we grabbed them. We go back, and we spray it. We empty the cans of Raid. We still, at this point, none of us have gotten stung, which is a miracle. We're spraying all these cans of Raid. It's trying to put out a huge fire with like a squirt gun. It was not going to work. So my dad's like, all right, we're going to take care of this how we did down in Texas, which always made me scared. Because if you remember, in Texas, they also jumped people on bike ramps. We know how that turned out. So we go back to the house, and my dad had a 5-gallon pail of gasoline. He grabs that and a lighter, and he said, now, we're going to do this safely. And in my mind, I'm questioning how any of this is going to be safely because we're using gasoline. He goes down. He takes the gasoline. He pours. It's like quick pours because they've kind of calmed down at this point. We've been gone for a while. He pours a bunch down the one hole, pours a bunch down the other hole, and then he makes a trail from the one hole to the other hole, and then he makes a trail about 20 feet away. It was pretty impressive, but there's about 3 or 4 gallons of gasoline down in this hole. And I remember he lights it, and then he said, hide behind the tree. So we're back a ways, and we're behind the tree, just kind of hiding. All of a sudden, there's like this, and I turn around, I look behind the tree, and there's like hornets just like flying everywhere. They're like on fire. It looked like B-52 bombers on fire, just like flying down. We took care of the problem. There was no hornets left. Now, we a part of the tree stand forever was memorialized with the blackness on it. But I remember thinking after that scenario, boy, if only my dad had just, you know, listened to me at that point. But at the same time, in his defense, he was trying to understand the directions, and I was interrupting him, and I did not forcibly say there is an imminent danger right near us. But I remember I was fearful because I was questioning my dad and what he was doing. I didn't want to do that. The good thing about that situation compared to the situation we're talking about this morning is my dad does not know everything. My dad is an amazing man, but he is not all-knowing like our Father God. And our God knows everything that's going on. He knows every situation. But we still have that same dilemma. Do we ask God why? If you read the Psalms, you're going to come across many, many Psalms where David is crying out to God and doing this very thing. He's asking God why. He's saying, God, why is my son trying to kill me? Saying, God, why are these people rebelling against me and ultimately against you? Why is this taking place? What we have here in Psalm 43 is essentially a template for how to ask God why. And we see how David goes about this. We see 4 different aspects of that. First of all, I want you to see that we need to, when we go and ask God why, we need to always seek God first. Look at verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. When he says, judge me and plead my cause, he's asking God to deliver him. Deliver me from the situation that I'm in. Specifically for David here, he's saying, deliver me from these ungodly people. But we can apply this to whatever situation that we're in. Deliver me from what I'm going through right now. Deliver me from these people that are persecuting me. Deliver me from this situation that I'm in. What David is doing here is he is showing us that he's asking God why. But it's important to note that he did this right away. He didn't go to someone else He didn't go onto Wikipedia and see how to deal with this situation. He didn't go and ask his friend, like, oh, man, what should I do here? He went to God. He went and he asked God for wisdom in this situation. He didn't understand what was going on. He is asking God why, but he went to God. He went to the right source, to the source. It is always better to come to God not understanding what he is doing than to not seek him at all. It is not wrong to come and to ask God why in a situation. It is wrong to completely push God out of the scenario and say, you know what, he's brought this on me, or he's allowed this, or whatever the case is. I need help in other areas. You know, sadly, many people will ultimately turn to God, but it's after they've exhausted every other resource that they think they have. They've gone through every other scenario that they can think of. They've sought help from other people, from other sources, and then finally, like, I have nothing. Oh, maybe I should go to God. Think of the time that we would save if we would go to God first. Think of the heartache and difficulty we would save ourselves if we go and we ask God, the God, our Father, for help and assistance in this area, even if we don't understand what's going on, especially in those circumstances. You see, many times people can have good advice. People can have advice that may help us in a situation. But if it's not coming from an advice that's based on the Word of God, then it is not right. We can have advice that's maybe practical advice in a situation that we can't take directly to Scripture, but if it's based on principles from Scripture, that is what we should be seeking. There's many examples in Scripture of people that seek advice from the wrong place. You think of Rehoboam. He became king of Israel, and he sought advice from two different groups of people. He sought advice from the old wise rulers, and he sought advice from his young friends. And he went with the advice of his young friends and alienated himself not only from the people but from God as well. We think of the advice that we should be taking. There is many people in our lives, hopefully, that we can see here today and friends of ours that are in this church that would give good, godly advice that would point us to Scripture. But if you're seeking advice from other sources, from places that are not basing their answers on the Word of God, then you should really reevaluate how you are seeking that advice. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." Continually means that we are seeking Him every single day in every single situation. It doesn't mean we're waiting until it gets so desperate and in such need that all of a sudden we feel like we have nowhere to go but God. We should feel we have nowhere to go but God all the time. He should be the only place that we are going for advice and for solutions to our life continually. God places people in our lives to help us, but we should be seeking God first. 1 Chronicles 22:19a says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." This gives about the idea that this isn't just something that comes about when all of a sudden we're in this situation. It's a setting of our heart and our soul on seeking God and seeking Him alone. This means that before the situation even comes about, that we have purposed in our heart, as Daniel did, that we're going to seek after God and we're going to seek Him. That means all of a sudden when we're blinded with this sickness, we're blinded with this accident in our life, or whatever the situation is, all of a sudden we're just blindsided. We don't know what's happening. We have already made it a pattern in our lives to seek the Lord that it's just second nature to go to Him right away. It means that we don't get into that period where something's happening. We just don't know what's going on. We can't understand it. But I can go to God. And I know I can trust Him. Acts 17:27. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." This is Paul speaking on Mars Hill. The people there are seeking, worshiping the unknown God. They're worshiping all these gods. Paul is saying, God is not far from any of you. You just have to but receive Him. We as believers know that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We have that relationship with God. And that if we are keeping that relationship with God right in our lives, He is there and waiting for us to give us that advice, to give us that assistance in that time of need. So we need to see that we need to always seek God first. Go to Him before you go to anything else. Because when you go to Him first, the help you're going to seek from other places is going to come from Him as well. Secondly, we need to realize that we need to question the situation, not the sovereignty of God. This means that we're questioning what is happening. You see what David is doing here in verse 2? He says, "For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He's saying, I don't understand what's going on here, God. It seems like you've kind of pushed me off. You're not with me anymore. And it seems like I am just fighting against this enemy continually, and there's no help there. He's saying, I don't understand this situation. David has this question here of why. But you notice he does not question God's character. He does not question God's goodness to him, as we're about to see. He does not question God's sovereignty in the situation. In the sense, he still realizes that God is in control and God knows what is happening. But he is honestly and humbly coming before God and asking why. Why is this happening? Anytime we come before God, it should be with the right heart attitude. This is what is important. If we come before God with the attitude of, boy, I deserve to know this. I deserve to know what's happening in my life and why this is going on with me. What that is we are questioning God. We're questioning His plan for our life. And we're saying, I deserve to know this because I'm something special or whatever. We realize that we are nothing before God. Yet amazingly, He still chooses to use us in His master plan. But within that, there's an aspect of, we won't always understand what is happening in our lives. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We're going back to that aspect of diligently seeking Him, continually seeking God. He is a rewarder of them that do that. But we realize it comes through faith. It comes through that faith and trusting in God and knowing that He has the plan, He has the purpose for your life that fits within His master plan. And we have to trust that He is going to continue to do that, and He's going to continue to work it out in our lives for His good. This doesn't always mean it's going to look good for us. This doesn't always mean that it's going to be easy to explain why it's happening to us. But we have to trust and know that God is in control. This is David's attitude here. He's asking God why. He's asking God, why is this happening? But at the same time, he's trusting and knowing that God is in control. And he's not doubting that at all. 1 Samuel 28:6 says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. This is an example of how not to go before God. See, Saul had sinned against God. And then all of a sudden, he's in this situation where he's feeling pressure. But his relationship is not right with God, so when he goes before God, God does not hear him. It is important that if we are going to come before God and ask Him anything, whether it's what is happening in the situation or just ask a request of Him, that we are in that right relationship with Him. Because if we're not, God does not hear our prayers, just as we see with Saul here. It's important, as we've already said, to be diligently seeking Him, to continually be going before Him, in order to, when we come into that situation, our relationship is right with God, and He will hear our prayers, and He will answer us. This does not mean that we will always necessarily see the answer, that we will understand the answer, that we will get the answer when we want it. We cannot put limitations on God's answer to our prayers. We cannot say, okay, I know God's going to answer me, and I'm willing to wait until Tuesday. Or, I know He's going to answer it, and I know He's going to do that, and I'm willing to have Him answered however He wants it, as long as it fits this category. No, we can't do that. We have to come before God with no expectations, with no placing borders on it, how we think it should work, but wholly trusting in God and knowing that He has a plan for it, and trusting in Him in that sense. The next two illustrations here of how to ask God why come after the change takes place in our heart. The change being that we have come from the point of not understanding and being maybe confused and asking God why, but now we are to the point of saying, God, I trust You. And I know You're in control. And here's how I'm going to respond. So we look at verses 3 and 4, and we see that we need to go before the presence of God. David desired to be before God's presence. You see, in the first couple of verses, he's asking God why. Why is the situation taking place? But then verse 3, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. David desired to be before God's presence. He desired to be so close to God that he could have that close relationship with him. You realize at this point, he still does not understand what's going on. He still has that question of why, what's happening in my life. But he's trusted in God's sovereignty and the plan that he has, and now he is rejoicing in the Lord. What are some truths that we know about God's presence? I want you to first of all realize that God's presence brings rest. Exodus 33:14, and he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Isn't that comforting to know? Especially in a situation that we don't understand the reasons behind it, that we can't understand why this is happening in my life. There's anything but rest happening to you at that point when you're questioning what's going on. Rest is important. Rest is vital. If you're not getting rest physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, you're going to fall apart. And God's presence can bring that rest. And that is why David is going before God. Because he's having all that's going on in his life, all these circumstances surrounding him. But he seeks God's presence because it brings rest. Secondly, God's presence brings guidance. Genesis 28:15, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." God's presence in our lives brings guidance, which is another amazing truth in a situation that we don't know what is going on. Because we don't have a direction. We have a path that we're going in our life, we're going this way, and all of a sudden something comes and just smashes that out of the way, and we're going a different direction all of a sudden. All of a sudden this detour has come along, and we don't know where we're going now. If we go to God's presence, we come to the point, as David has, still not understanding what's happening, but we are seeking God's presence, he will bring us guidance. And we can rest in that. Thirdly, God's presence brings peace. Psalm 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." God's presence brings peace in our life. And going along with the rest aspect, there's not much peace going on in our lives when this dilemma is happening to us. But God's presence and trusting in him brings that peace. Then fourthly, God's presence brings exceeding joy. Look at verse 4 in Psalm 43. "Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God." You realize what's happening here? David is still confused about what's going on. He still doesn't understand what's happening to him. And yet, he is going before God's presence. He is going to the tabernacle there. He's referring to Jerusalem. He's going before God's presence there, and he is rejoicing. And he's saying, "God still brings me exceeding joy," to the point that he praises him with his voice and with instruments here with the harp. He is so thankful for the goodness that God has already shown to him and for the goodness that he knows God is going to show to him in the situation, that he is praising God. Can we say that? Can we say that in the midst of these trials and tribulations that we face in our life, that in the midst of it, we can still praise God? That we can still rejoice in him? We may not understand the situation that's going on right now, but we should be able to look back in our life and see the times that God has given us wisdom, that God has given us direction, that God has helped us, and he has shown himself good. We may not be able to see God's goodness directly happening in our lives right now. We may not be able to understand his sovereign plan and what he is doing in the world and in our lives right now. We may not be able to understand, but we should be able to know that the God that we served yesterday that helped us in that situation is the same God we serve today and the God that we serve tomorrow, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not going to change. He is not going to change how he treated us last time today. He is still going to be faithful to us, and we should still be able to rejoice in him and praise our God because of that. Number four, we need to return to the strength God gives. Look at verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou cast disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Now David goes from questioning why God is allowing these things to happen to him to now asking himself why he is discouraged. You see, David has worked through this whole process. He's had the situation come at him. He has gone to God. He has asked God why. And then he's begun to think about all the times that God has shown himself strong to him in the past. And now he thinks back and he's like, why am I discouraged? What reason have I to be upset about what's going on in my life right now? He's asking himself, why is my soul cast down? Why am I upset? Why is my face long? Why am I discouraged? I still serve the same God that has helped me in every single situation before this. Notice the phrase there in the middle of verse 5. Hope in God. God is the only place that we should be going for hope. Because He is the only source of true, genuine hope that we are ever going to find. And David has come to that point where he remembers. You see, David didn't know this. He had just forgotten, or he had just been discouraged and he had kind of put it off. And all of a sudden he remembers, I need to hope in God. Because why? For I shall yet praise Him, because God is the health of my countenance and my God. David ends up praising God for His goodness to him, because He is the health of his countenance. This means that even when circumstances are difficult, even when everything is going wrong in our lives, even when we can't honestly answer someone when they ask you how you're doing, and you say, well, it's not the best, or you say, it's good, but it's really not good, even in those circumstances where things are difficult, you can still praise God. Because even when you can't understand what's going on in your life, God still does. And God is still going to be there for you. And He's still going to help you. And He's still going to give you that strength that you can't even comprehend. A strength that we could never have in and of ourselves. What does this praise look like that we should be giving to God? Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. This means when we're facing a difficult situation, we should be able to come to this psalm, Psalm 150, amazing psalm. And we should be able to work through those different things that we are supposed to be praising God for and how we praise Him. Because even when our circumstances are difficult and we don't understand what's going on, we should still be able to praise God. We're not praising God and we're not joyful because of this situation. We're joyful and we're praising God because of His goodness to us and realizing that He is going to bring us through this situation. How do we apply this? We need to realize that when we ask God why, it should come from a humble spirit and an open mind. Without placing borders and circumstances that we think are going to work in the answer to prayer, but leaving it up to God and trusting in Him, but doing it humbly. Not coming before Him in a prideful attitude or a judgmental attitude or condemning and saying, why would you do this to me? But humbly coming before God and asking Him genuinely, why is this happening? But at the same time, you ask Him why. But you do that if you come back to the point where you know that you can trust in Him and you know that you can still praise Him and you know that you can still rejoice in Him. Because we need to trust in God's plan. Trust in God's plan when we can see what He is doing. Trust in God's plan when we cannot see what He is doing. Because we know that He's been good to us yesterday. He's going to be good to us today. He's going to be good to us forever. And then always come back to the joy of being a Christian, and that joy that comes from serving God. Come back to that point where you can praise God. I know that everyone here today has a different circumstance that you're going through. A different difficulty that you just can't understand. Something that is going on in your life and maybe you just can't even talk about it to someone. Maybe it's a reoccurring event or it's something that's just happened to you. And you know you have that question in your mind and you're saying, why, God? Why would this happen? David was at the same place. You know, Psalm 43 is just one of many examples of this. David did this many times. He came before God and he asked Him, why is this happening? We notice in every circumstance there, David ultimately came back to trusting in God in praising God because of His goodness and trusting in His plan. Can we say that today? I don't know the magnitude of the circumstance that you're facing. I don't know if it's some health difficulty that you're facing, whether with you or a loved one, some financial difficulty, a job situation that is just overwhelming you. But I know this. We all serve an amazing, a wonderful, and a loving God. And He loves you, He loves me, and He cares for each and every one of us. And I also know this, that is only available to us, that amazing relationship, if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. If you're here today and you have never accepted that free gift of salvation, and everything that we've just talked about sounds amazing, it sounds like, boy, that's exactly what I need to where I can get to the point, even when everything is going on crazy around me, that I can still trust in someone, but you've never had that feeling before, please don't leave here today without knowing for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Know that today can be your day of salvation and that you can have this relationship with Jesus Christ, with our Lord. But it is only if we repent of our sins and ask forgiveness and accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, that we can have that free gift of salvation. And if you do that, the joy that comes in serving Jesus is amazing. There's still going to be difficulties. Being a Christian is not easy, especially in today's world. But we know that we still serve the same God that was on the throne back in the Bible times, that is on the throne now, and that will be on the throne forever. There is difficulties happening in the world around us. There's natural disasters, there's wars, there's fightings, there's rumors of wars. You know what? God has already won the victory. We don't serve a God that is about to battle some Satan and devil, and they're going to see who's going to win. There will be a battle, but there is already a victor. Jesus Christ is on the throne, and He is ruling, and He is asking for you to come to Him today. And Christian, I pray that if you're facing a situation right now you just don't understand, that you will go to God. You will ask for wisdom. You will ask for guidance. And whether He gives you the insight into that situation or not, that you will be able to come to the point where you can praise God, and you can see that there is joy in serving Him, and that you can trust in Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for the many, many times throughout history, throughout our lives individually, that we have seen You work. Thank You for the love that You have shown to us. Lord, if nothing else, we can go to the fact that You sent Your Son to die for us, Your only Son, to die for an ungrateful people, a sinful people, us, Lord. And the love that You show there is being shown to us every single day. Lord, help us to trust in You. Help us when we don't understand a situation and we come before You asking, Lord, help us to trust that You have a plan. And Lord, help us to praise You for Your goodness to us. Thank You so much for Your word and for the different many places we can go and we can learn about You. Lord, I pray that this morning, that You would help those of us that are believers, that we would come to the point where we can trust in You and that we can praise You, Lord, in any situation. Help us to have that deep relationship with You where we are continually seeking You. And Lord, that we can have that true love for You and that close-knit relationship. And Lord, I pray if there is anyone here today that does not have that relationship with You, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray that You would just help them to see their need for You and that in the difficulties of this world that are not going to get better, they're going to wax worse and worse. Lord, that they would turn to the only source of true hope. That is that hope in You, Lord, hope in God. Lord, I pray that You bless this time now and everything that happens the rest of the day, that it would be done to honor and glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and turn into your hymnals.